crowned with a crown of thorns and a scarlet robe placed on his back, they marched to the city trash hump. And there they crucified him. Father, we come before you this evening celebrating the moment that Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, celebrating the pain that he went through, celebrating the stripes that were laid on his back, celebrating his final breath, celebrating his entombment in a borrowed grave. Be with us tonight. May our hearts be drawn closer to our Savior. May our hearts be drawn closer to our Creator. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done in the hearts of many. Amen and amen.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, the darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice. Then sings my
you're gathered here this afternoon in remembrance of the great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to be in your house in order to commemorate the death of your Son for each and every one of us, Father. Lord, I ask that you bless our lives, Father, as we do this in remembrance. Luke 23:34 says, "But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Every time I hear that passage, I am moved by the awesome demonstration of compassion by Jesus. We often speak of God's love, as it's stated to us in John 3:16, but I believe that the love was mostly demonstrated by Jesus at the cross through his compassion for those that were crucifying him. Even as he looked over the crowd and could hear the cursing and ridicule and the mocking, he still interceded for them before the Father. He himself knowing that with one word spoken by him, it could all come to an end. He could destroy them and he could save himself. I believe that today is Jesus is still filled with compassion for each and every one of us. Even though every day of our lives we are in danger of committing sin, he still advocates for us every day before the Father. Christ, knowing fully well that we would be sinners to come after his crucifixion, was willing to pay the ultimate price. And I believe that the Lord, as he stood there on that cross, he was stating to us, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
I have the second of the last seven of the seven statements Jesus talked about was this: "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now picture this, you got Jesus is on the cross, and next to him is a criminal on either side. And it's interesting because when you look at the story, it seems that they've heard about this Jesus who claimed to be the Messiah. And one of them, seeing that it says above Jesus's cross, "King of the Jews," he says defiantly, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save us. Save yourself and save us." But the other criminal, it's interesting, rebukes him and says, "Don't you fear God? We're getting the just reward of our actions. We deserve to be here. But this man has done nothing." And then he turns to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, remember me when you get to your kingdom." And Jesus looks at him and he says, "I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." You know what I love about this passage? For those of us that maybe have ever been concerned about loved ones, wondering if they know the Lord, they've gone to church perhaps, you know that they've heard the story about Jesus, but maybe they've chose to live their life, maybe defiantly without him, and maybe just apathetic about it, but have never walked with him at all, just like these two criminals. And I think about the criminal that asked Jesus to remember him in his kingdom, that he must have heard about this Jesus. And so right there, realizing that he's between life and death, that he's about to lose his life, he finally, hearing of the stories that he had heard about Jesus, in humility says, "Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom." And you know what? I love this because it gives so much hope for those of us that have loved ones, maybe people you've shared with about the Lord, maybe they've been to church, but they're not walking that way now, to know that God desires no one to miss being in heaven with him. And even up to the last second, the thing that we never know is even when someone's close to their own death, that may be the moment that they start reflecting on all the words that others have said to them about Jesus being the only way to heaven. and that they can say, maybe even in a flash moment before they enter eternity, they would say, I believe. I believe, God, I believe. Take my life. And that they can have salvation at that time. And you know what I love about that is Satan, so often, he just wants to ruin all of our lives. And here he could have somebody that their whole life rejects God and not walking with God. And then at the very last second, reaches out and says, God, I believe. And Jesus says, welcome. You're going to be with me today in paradise. So that, just love the hope with that. So anybody who's ever just at the end, or anyone who is just concerned, keep praying, because God's Spirit will keep working, and you never know. Only God knows for sure. If even at the last second someone says, God, I believe, and then they're going to be with Jesus forever in heaven.
Good evening. I'm reading John 19:26-27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. In this verse, I see three very distinct things, and you might recognize them, so listen carefully. I see authenticity. Jesus was being who he was meant to be, not only by dying on the cross, fulfilling his destiny as our Savior, but as the oldest son. It was his responsibility in his culture to care for and provide for his widowed mother. So by speaking these words to his mother and John, his disciple, he was being authentic to who he was meant to be, the oldest son. I also see kindness in these verses. Even in Jesus' great suffering and agony, he was moved with kindness and compassion for his mother. She was there at the foot of the cross in so much grief and sorrow at seeing her son being crucified and dying. But he put aside his every need, his every concern, his every pain to focus on his mother and show her kindness. He didn't have to do that. Everyone would have totally understood had he not done that. But he did. He was kind. As a mom, when my son shows me acts of kindness, it's one of the most wonderful experiences I could ever have. Like when he washes the dishes or folds the clothes without me even asking him to do so. It's amazing. I love it. So I can only imagine how Mary felt in that moment when Jesus stopped, recognized her, showed her comfort and love. When he stopped and he honored John, his disciple, by giving him the responsibility of caring for his mother. Even while Jesus was saving the world, the most important part of his purpose, he was intentional about being kind to the people who were around him, who were suffering. And then, of course, you know the last one. I see intentionality. Jesus was being intentional and purposeful in who he assigned to take care of his mother. Now, John and Jesus had a very close relationship. They were actually cousins, but really, they were more like brothers. They shared a very deep love for one another. So Jesus trusted John, and he trusted him to treat Mary like his own mother. He knew that John would honor Mary the way he did, and also in the faith that he had. So as Pastor Josh has been preaching about authenticity, kindness, and intentionality, we see this verse here, and we see all three of those in this verse. We see that all three of those were so important to Jesus that even in his last moments on the cross as he was dying, he portrayed authenticity, kindness, and intentionality.
Our next text is going to be in Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, when I first read this text, I was asked, why would the Father forsake his only begotten Son? And why would Jesus feel that his own Father will forsake him? And I had to look through Scripture. And the reason the Father forsook his only begotten Son is that Jesus took upon himself our transgressions. This is the joy of our salvation. This is the reason why that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, is because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf. It took the blood of God to make us white as snow. And it encourages us today on a Good Friday that we have eternal life is because the Father forsook his Son. And that's good news. And so I just want to share that with you. Amen.
The Roman soldier pushes a sponge onto a reed up to Jesus' lips. It is near the end of Jesus' human life, and he senses it. He's hung on the cross now for 6 hours. What is it like to watch Jesus' slow death? Perhaps it impressed the soldier with something like St. Peter's words. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth, and when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to whom he knew would judge him justly. It's become hard for Jesus to even get a breath at this point. Hung from his arms, he must pull himself up each time he wants to breathe. His shoulders ache, his mouth is parched, he's exhausted, and yet he doesn't want to die without a final word. He asks for something to drink to wet his lips for this final effort. In John chapter 19, verse 28, later, knowing that all was now completed so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Thinking about just today, the things I might be going through, the things you might be going through. At this point, he had suffered all through this obedience to prepare us for a place that now we can follow in this great commission. Thirst was one of the most distressing circumstances attending to the crucifixion. The wounds were highly inflamed. The raging fever caused usually by sufferings on the cross, and this was accompanied by an insupportable thirst. And he says, "I thirst." A man like no other. Jesus's physical humanity in this moment, Jesus's awareness of the scripture in this moment, that all is fulfilled, and Jesus' determination to complete his task. That we would, like Paul, say that I've run the race and having done all to run. Could we, in this celebration of what Christ paid for us, love a little harder, forgive a little faster, run from the things that we know we shouldn't be doing, forgive a little faster, and more importantly, that we're present in every place where we are, in our physical humanity, in our spirit, allowing him to work through us, and that we could like him, that when all is said and done, say with him, "I thirst, because it is finished."
One of the shortest of the words of Christ on the cross, only three words: "It is finished." we have to ask the question, what is this pronoun have reference to? What is it? What is it? We may not get a conclusion to that this evening. The story may be over and we walk from this building and you go about the rest of your activities this evening, not having the words to draw the logical conclusion of what it is. Maybe it's the discussion that God had with Satan in the garden after Adam and Eve had sinned, just before they were cast out of the garden. God cursed Satan, then he looked at him and he said, there will be a time, there will be a time that he is going to crush your skull and you're going to bruise his heel. Maybe it was having reference to the great prophet Isaiah, who I believe really wrote the first gospel in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, so filled with the glorious testimonies of the Messiah. Maybe when he declared, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. I don't know. I know, but maybe this is not the time to talk about it. There is a song that was written a few years ago that I want to be able to share just a couple of those lyrics with you. There's a line that's been drawn across the ages. And on that line stands the old rugged cross. On one side march the forces of evil, and on the other, the angels of glory. And the earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine. For there hangs God's Son in the balance. There hangs God's Son in the balance. I love Superman stories. I love hero stories. I love the cowboy in the white hat who comes riding into Dodge, getting rid of all of the criminals, and then things begin to seem to go bad. And he's sitting on the front porch of the hotel, waiting to see what the next move will be. Suddenly we hear the noise of horses as they are riding in. And we see our hero as he straightens up in his chair. And at that moment, there is a gunshot. And we see the bullet as it lodges right in his forehead. And the blood begins to spurt. And our hero, the one that is going to turn Dodge around, slumps from his chair, falls into a puddle of blood, and he dies. And the screen goes dark. And we think, it can't be over. But the credits began to run.
I want to thank all of you for taking the time out of your Friday as we are in this time of Holy Week to be here with us as we are reflecting upon the last words of Christ. We started out in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, saying, where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Then we saw in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, how Jesus said to the thief hanging beside him on the cross, truly today you will be with me in paradise. Then we heard this word of affection and comfort, an affirmation that Jesus spoke to his mother and to the disciple that he loved. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And then as the time progressed, we can hear where there came a moment where all of the sudden, as all of the weight of sin and our shame was placed upon his shoulders, and the Father had to turn his head away. This cry that came forth, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then nearing the very end, his humanity began to show through as he spoke those words found in John chapter 19, verse 38. I thirst. I thirst. The one who is the living water, declaring in those moments with those two words, his humanity, fully God and fully man. And then he makes this profound statement in John chapter 19, verse 30. It is finished. It is finished. And that brings us to the final words that he spoke on the cross. They're found in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. It says, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then it says, having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus had completed the mission. He endured all of the pain and the suffering. He had been brutally beaten, mocked, ridiculed, tortured, and crucified. Here hung the Lamb of God, just a few breaths away from the end. After having experienced the most unconscionable physical pain that any human being could suffer, after having experienced the total emotional rejection, betrayal, and abandonment of his closest friends, after screeching out in horror and agony words that express complete spiritual isolation from his Father, why have you abandoned me? Here in these last fleeting moments, Jesus utters these words, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Even in the midst of all of the pain, the suffering, and the rejection, in the midst of total isolation and abandonment, he did not lose faith. He did not reject his Father. Even though he couldn't see him, feel him, and even though he had suffered all of this because it was his Father's goodwill, he chose to entrust his spirit into his Father's care. I cannot fathom that kind of trust, that kind of love. And yet Jesus served as our example. No matter the pain that you were experiencing, no matter the rejection that you face, no matter the sorrow, and yes, the feelings that God is distant or that he does not hear your prayers, your desperate cries for help. It does not change the fact that God is still sovereign. And he is somehow working out something far better for you than what you can see at this time. Like Jesus, we must learn to trust. We must learn to commit ourselves to his care, even when everything around us is failing and we feel that God has abandoned us. I assure you, God has not abandoned you. This is temporary. This too shall pass. You will get through this, and you will be better on the other side. As Jesus hung there, I can just see this conversation between God the Father and Satan. Satan could not resist the offer. When given the choice of the Son of God in exchange for all of humanity. This was the one of whom it was prophesied that would defeat Satan and all of his kingdom and rule as the king of all kings. He screeched in glee as he watched the Son of God torn and brutally beaten. He was elated as he saw the nails pierce the hands and feet of the Messiah. He even had it pronounced to the world by having a sign hung above the crucified Christ, reading, "The King of the Jews." The King of the Jews. Satan killed the body of Jesus, but he could not kill his spirit. He could not kill his spirit. When Jesus committed his spirit to his Father, he sealed Satan's fate. The death of this perfect lamb set us free once and for all time from Satan's grasp. We were bought with a high price. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As we hear Christ's words, we can be assured that no matter our circumstances, we can trust our Heavenly Father. As we commit ourselves to him, we're securing our victory, and the defeat of the enemy is imminent. In the book of John, it says, "For as many as believed upon him, he gave the power to become the children of God." Because of Jesus' death on the cross, because of his faithfulness to go through the pain and the suffering, to see it through to the end, because he did not fail us and he did not fail his Father, even when his Father turned his head as all of our sin and shame was placed upon his back. Jesus did not fail to see the mission through to the end. He did not fail to have faith. And as he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He was letting the world know, I'm going home. I'm going home to Daddy. And I will be back. The story does not end here. It does not conclude here. Jesus died on that cross. He was placed in a grave. But in just a few short hours, we will begin to celebrate that he came out of that grave and he rose again. But I want you to take this time to reflect upon the price that he paid so that you and I could be set free. You may not feel free in this moment. You may feel as though your life is in complete chaos, that you have completely lost control. The last thing that you may want to hear right now is that Jesus loves you. The last thing you may want to hear right now is that he has a plan for you. The last thing you may be able to even grab a hold of and believe is that he has paid the price so that you could be free. Because you may not feel free. You may feel rejected. You may feel lost. You may feel isolated and abandoned. I'm here to tell you that if you will do as Jesus did in his darkest hour, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. If you will choose to commit yourself fully to him, if you will give yourself over to the Father, I guarantee you it will seal the fate of the enemy who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Daddy will show up. Daddy will fight your battles for you. He will set you free. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will destroy every force of darkness that's trying to come against you. I want you to hear what I'm trying to communicate to you, and that is that God loves you. And even in the moments when you feel the farthest from him, his love is pursuing you. Will you commit yourself to Jesus? Will you embrace his love? Will you give yourself over to him fully? In light of all that he has done, do not reject such a great sacrifice, such a high price that he paid for your freedom. I want you right now, wherever you are, as you're hearing my voice, if you feel far from God, if you have never given your heart to Jesus, or if you're struggling in your faith right now, I want you to do as Christ did with the very last breath upon the cross. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. Will you commit yourself fully to him? Will you do that right now? I want to pray with you. If that is you, I want you to make a comment right now. Give me a thumbs up or a high five. Let me know that you are right now committing your life to Christ, or right now that you are saying, yes, I embrace, I give myself fully to Jesus. Will you do that? And then will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I recognize that you paid the price for my sin, that you paid the ultimate price by giving your son as a sacrifice on the cross for my salvation. Even when I do not feel that you are here, even when I am struggling, I know that you are pursuing me. I know that you love me. And I choose to trust. I commit myself fully to you. I place myself in your care. And I ask that you would take me and that you would make me your child. In the name that is above every name, the precious name of your son, Jesus, I ask all of these things. And I receive my freedom. I receive my salvation right now because you have embraced me as your son, as your daughter. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so encouraged right now because I know that there are people within the sound of my voice that are hearing these words and reflecting upon them and saying, Lord, I fully commit to you. There is no greater way for us to express this than by taking the Lord's Supper, by taking the elements of the communion. I want you to begin to prepare that in your home even now as we come. Pastor Sanford is going to lead us through the holy sacraments as we take this time to reflect upon the last words of Christ and upon his suffering on the cross. We are going to spend time, we're going to sing a song together as we are preparing, and then we're going to partake together. And we are going to take the time tonight to reflect on his words. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from death.
Well, we have to wait until Sunday for the sequel. But as we walk away from the room tonight, reflecting on the broken, bruised, bleeding body of Jesus Christ, And only those who had the stomach for it stay until the soldiers remove his body off of the cross and drag it across the sand to the waiting arms of a few people, including a man by the name of Joseph, who gives him permission to place it in a tomb. But we encourage ourselves with what he spoke just two nights ago when he was having the Passover with them. And he said, as he interrupted the ceremony and changed the words forever, changed the narrative forever, as he took the bread and he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And how well we understand it tonight. This is my body, broken for you. Broken for you. The stripes laid on his back, where if you saw behind, you would have seen his very back bones shining through the skin that had been flayed away from the bones. That every drop of blood was gone. Blood caked as it had been running down his forehead. And he said, "My body is broken for you. And as often as you do it in remembrance of me." Would you take that symbol of his broken body? And I want you to pray with me. Some of you have been damaged. Some of you have been hurt by COVID-19. Some of your finances are in a heap of trouble. Some of you have family members or friends that are struggling with this disease. I want you to understand what the gospel of Isaiah declares, that with his stripes we are healed. And as you take this, would you pray for the healing of your bodies? Would you pray for the healing of your friends? Would you pray for the healing of this nation? Would you pray for the healing of our economy? Lord, thank you for your body broken. And your broken body is going to restore our bodies in the name of Jesus. Amen. I often become agitated when some ministers who are misguided talk about the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. There was no blood that was spilled. It was freely given. It was shed for you. And I say to you this evening, with his blood, we are saved. If you pray that prayer, send us a message. Maybe during the reflection, you want to think about it. Tune in on Sunday morning. Share with us. Maybe during the Sunday morning service, you'd like to send a short testimony, a couple of words, and say, "I'm saved, and I thank God for the blood. The blood has given me power from day to day." So to you, I say, the blood of Jesus Christ. And with that blood brings us life. Let us partake of this together, the time to life.
Well, we're so thankful that you tuned in, that you are here with us, that you spent your Friday, Good Friday, with us. We encourage you to be back here with us on Sunday morning. Be sure to take some time to reflect on the words that Jesus spoke on the cross. Let them speak healing and life to your heart. And I also encourage you to read the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and let those words sink into your heart as well. Now, we're going to sing this song again as we are dismissing, and we're going to let these words resonate in our hearts as we know that Jesus did die, but on the third day he rose again. So let's just celebrate the sacrifice that he paid for our freedom. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that you did all of this for us. We give you honor, we give you glory, we give you praise, because only you are worthy. In Jesus' name. Father, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust that the sacrifice that you paid was for our freedom. We trust, oh God, that you made a way where there was no way. And because of that, we can trust in you. Thank you for that blood. And so now, Father, I just speak a blessing over every person that is within the sound of my voice, that you would be with them, that you would cover them, that you would speak your peace to them. And let that blood that was shed upon Calvary bring healing, bring protection, bring us peace. The chastisement for our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we were healed. So, Father, we receive your peace, we receive your healing, we receive your salvation, and we thank you that you love us, and if you are with us, if you are for us, who can be against us? It's in your precious name we ask, the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names, and all everybody, God's people, say amen and amen, amen. God bless you. So glad that you tuned in today. Go in peace, have peace in your home, and get prepared to celebrate the salvation, the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning. We will see you here at 10:30. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend during this time that we celebrate Holy Week as we remember what Jesus did. Because of him, we have hope. See you Sunday. God bless.
Love came calling, rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
6 feet under.
that I was too far gone for everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. You called.